What's up? Episode 200.
Hello.
We made it. We're here.
This is
the final episode.
This is like the latest episode of Chapo, but instead of Will, it's me and Tom and Chet and Michael.
Yes.
Yep. That's true.
Just like it.
Because
joining us, we have Felix.
That's right.
Woo. Welcome.
All right. Well, now that Felix is here, I want to go over my my dad's
okay.
more viable two-state solution to the Israel-Palestine conflict that he was going over with me earlier today.
Okay.
Let's hear this.
All right. So he says, why don't we just give Florida to Israel? Why don't we just bury some weird ancient scribes in the sand over there and then dig them up and be like, whoa, maybe this is the Jewish Holy Land instead. And then they'll all just go to Florida. And we don't.
No, they don't fall for that.
No.
Joseph Smith tried that. He pulled up all those tablets and it said, oh no, this was where the Israelites were. The Israelites were in Utah. And I don't think a single Jewish person heard that and was like, oh yeah, that's true.
Great minds do think alike. Like Chet, my great grandfather actually, he had a similar idea. Like he would, you know, he thought like, why
Hans
don't
Wolf,
we
do- don't listen to this.
I mean, the Bonswolf, they would hate my grandmother because sometime in like the 1980s, she was like, I can't, like, I won't, like, go to any charity event that has anything to do with Israel. Like, fuck that. No, never.
I thought you were going to say, I won't go to any charity event that raises any money for schools throughout the state.
It's just because they're annoying.
Yeah,
they're just honestly, inherently annoying people. I don't know what it is. Not Jews, Israelis.
I think that is her reason, because I've never heard her like talk about the Middle East. Like the only thing I ever heard her say about it, like on her 100th birthday, we asked her a bunch of questions just like about her life and our family and all this shit. And the only thing she did say about it was like, she felt like Zionism was like she held those beliefs for a while. She felt like Zionism was just taking Nazism and like, you know, reversing the logic of it. That it is just like, you know, identitarianism for Jewish people. But she never like showed any particular interest in like Middle Eastern politics or anything like that. She had a principled reason, but also she probably got annoyed by an Israeli, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Like a
door-to-door
guy.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the plan that you said your grandfather had?
My great-grandfather, this is a great-grandfather on a different side, on my mom's side. He was like...
CIA. Like,
yeah. No, I'm not a Menaker. No, like...
Yeah, you're actually Jewish.
Yeah, exactly. He, like, it was around the time of the Great Migration, and he was like, why don't we just put the British Mandate of Palestine in Alabama? He's a novel thinker.
I love that idea. I swear to God, my dad said, he's like, Florida? Or maybe we can give him Alabama if we can't get rid of Florida. I swear to God, that's what he said.
See, I think Joseph Smith's problem, if we can get into this, was trying to do it in Utah. And like, sure, Utah's really
Well, he
pretty,
didn't want to do it in
like,
Utah. He wanted to do it in Ohio. I know. And they got mad. They didn't like it.
Yeah, but it's not going to fly in Ohio, okay? But we're not going to fall for that. We don't want anybody moving there.
Ohio people hear the Jewish question. I don't like tests.
Yeah. Not one for a test. But Florida, I mean, Florida's perfect. Florida, the climate, everything. Like, I think Florida could work. So
yeah.
Why not? Why not try it?
Coastal Florida. What's that's the harm? Closest part of the U.S. that we have to Israel.
You know who else
what is
tried
the harm
this?
In trying, right?
Perhaps the most ham-fisted way, in 1928, Russia said, hey, you Jews, you want this land that China gave us 50 years ago? No one else is using it. We'll call it the Jewish Autonomous Oblast. And the Jews were like, no, that's cool. We're going to stay over here in Ukraine. Some of us might move there. And then the Jews that moved there, the Bolsheviks were like, by the way, you can't practice it here. It's called this, but please be atheist. So then a lot of them left too, and now there's 0.6% Jews in the Jewish Autonomous Oblast of Russia. They do have the gayest flag in Russia. It's just pure rainbow.
They call it Manjuria.
Yeah, their governor is named Rostislav Goldstein, which sounds like a joke, but it's not.
Why wouldn't they be atheists? Come on, it's the 20th century. Like Lenin and Trotsky,
well,
they knew what
the
was
funny
going
thing
on.
Is,
they knew that that's the new type of being Jewish, is Judeo-Bolshevism. Fuck Yahweh. We're throwing off that yoke.
It got fucked up and it scared a bunch of people off doing that, so they left. But then in 2013, Russia was like, well, since no one's using this, it's a fuckload of like lush green pasture land. How about we split this up between the Amur people and Khabarovsk, like the surrounding oblasts? And Jewish people around the world protested. They're like,
really?
You're not taking our land from us. Yeah, that's why it's spelled the JAO, which is awesome.
That's dope.
Yep. Alex, they like Jewish atheism like that. It was big for like German Jews, you know, the wasps of Jews at the time. Mm-hmm. The allegedly, the people who invented the slur kike were German Jews. They did it to like make fun of Russian Jews. Russian Jews were like hicks. They like they couldn't do atheism. They were like, you could have sold Mormonism to them because like we all like lived in huts and were like afraid of the devil and shit. That's like it took us coming to America to discover atheism.
Yeah, Russia was just behind in every way.
Yeah, yeah. But see, Russia was pre-industrial, so like even like its Jews were still like we were still like superstitious and weird.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, they were still doing old-fashioned pogroms.
Yeah,
not even like the newfangled Dreyfus affair type stuff.
Brianna Wu just found out about those.
That's right. Yeah,
while we're discussing Judaism, I have a question. Mm-hmm. What is the Israeli holiday where they do blackface? What's that all about?
So Purim is like a really shitty version of Halloween. It's you're supposed to like basically like the reason you see a lot of blackface, I guess, is that you're supposed to dress up as your enemies. That's
wait a goddamn minute.
Are they supposed to be the Persians?
When I went to New York and stayed in like that really Jewish neighborhood in Brooklyn, and we went to the Oliver concert in 2018.
Yeah,
because that was like 6 years ago or whatever.
Crown Heights.
I was wondering why all the like Hasidic Jews that were around me, like all the kids were dressed up as Spider-Man, and they were like doing a fucking party at the street. And like I don't know, it was like a Thursday or some shit. And they were like blasting like Hebrew music. Is that? Same time would that have been passed, but like that doesn't explain why they were dressing up like Spider-Man, right? Like all the kids had little costumes on, so that was for what you call it,
Purim.
It probably was.
It was like the same time of year.
That's a way better costume.
Honestly, the reason you see a lot of blackface on Purim is just because like, you know, like the people that are doing it are racist.
The same reason why you see it at a lot of like NHL really Halloween parties.
Yeah, yeah. Just, exactly.
Yeah.
But
and in
but
the Netherlands.
I had a really bad Purim incident last year. I was flying. It was when we like it was the last like tour we did besides the Canada tour. And I was flying from here to New York to like I was on a red eye to our New York show. And the guy across from me in the aisle was, you know, he was like a Orthodox Jew. And I, to this day, I feel so much regret. I'm normally so good about this when anyone asks me this. He asked me if I'm Jewish. And instead of my usual answer, which is like, no, I'm Turkish, which usually gets me out of a lot of things. I go, I think because it was like a red eye and I had done the Drake and taken 1/84th of a Xanax. I was like, relax.
You're a shaky warrior. It's not your fault.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. And he made me do, he brought out a fucking plastic tree branch and a fake lemon that he kept telling me was worth thousands of dollars and made me like recite Hebrew and do all this shit with the branch. And I kept trying to explain to him, like, no, I'm not like, I'm whatever the fuck you are. I'm not that. Like, I was trying to be nice. He was a nice guy, but it was like, no, we didn't, like, no one in my family has ever bought a fake lemon for $4,000.
Fake lemon?
Yeah, you hear that, Bonswolfs?
Like, does it have, you. Like, is it made out of gold?
No. He never explained why the fake lemon is so expensive.
It's like plastic fruit, except it's $4,000.
I think it's like how people launder money through CSGO skins.
That would make sense.
That guy was probably on his way to help Sneeko convert in the same stream where he converted to Islam.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that like, I think that that could be a good thing for streamers, converting to, like, Chabad.
They've been doing that, dude. Mm-hmm. That guy that got arrested in Japan, Johnny Somali, and then they kicked him out because they decided, like, you're really not worth keeping here for however many months of the trial. Just don't come back. Like, you're banned from the country. He immediately, to, like, get, like, the Andrew Tate type attention, he did a stream where he became Jewish and Muslim in the same stream.
Wow, the Sean King.
Oh, that's awesome.
So fucking sure then no one can get mad at you.
In one stream.
I like it when people had to change.
I think Muhammad kind of did that. Like, quickly, just you stepping up. Like, you gotta have the one God and then all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's hard. You can't argue that Muhammad wasn't at least, like, temporarily Jewish.
Well, so maybe Judaism is, like, a middle stage of evolution, this last, like in Pokemon. You go from a Charmander to a Charmeleon to a Charizard.
That guy finally got banned, I think, from Kick. In his final stream, he was in Tel Aviv. His entry became Jewish, and all these Jewish guys on the streets kept fucking trying to jump him for 8 hours straight.
Oh, no.
Just the most racist Israeli guys
no,
ever.
Oh, no, dude.
Let's just say everyone involved sucks, and he probably had it coming.
The one time you're like, okay, thank you, awful Israeli guy.
Hey, yeah, at least they were pestering that guy all day, and not so anyone else, you know? Fucking Kick. I can't believe Kick streamers are still a thing. Like, it's crazy.
Their Kick advertises on an F1
card,
actually.
They have it. There's shit everywhere.
They're
steak
on
everywhere,
esports
too.
Teams everywhere.
Is it like, do they advertise, is the F1 driver they advertise with, like, a bad guy?
It's train wrecks.
Yeah. Car wrecks.
I can't remember which driver it is. Like, it's some smaller team or whatever.
I think it's they changed their name this year. It's with the one with Bottas and Zoe or whatever.
Yeah, now they're called Free Israel. That's what it's called. It's crazy.
Trainwrecks will always be my friend.
Yep.
He was nice to me,
and that's the most important thing about that anyone can do. That determines all their entire moral character.
Yo, Felix, you gotta look out for those fucking fake fucking LA streamers, bro. Like, I don't want to pull you into the circle. Fucking, it's very, very clicky, bro.
I do like that people like that exist. It's always been something that's fascinating to people, going back to celebrities, even in the early days of motion pictures and all that.
Mm-hmm.
People like seeing someone take a bunch of stimulants and ruin their life.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's why, I mean, that's why a lot of people are gambling or watching the gambling streams, and they're also sitting there trying to do it themselves or wishing they can gamble or losing their money or being depressed. But the other half is literally just watching it, like, hate-watching style. Like, ironically watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Yeah. I really like that.
Yeah, I think a good portion of people are watching him just to see him fall, like, deeper and deeper into degeneracy.
Bro, XQC
the
other
day.
It's
like watching Charlie Sheen.
For 8 hours straight the other day, XQC was just doing $50,000 buy-ins where you get buy into the bonus and just do 10 spins over and over for 8 hours. Blew through millions. And I just went to bed.
That's the same thing that we do when we watch Sean and the Pack open up a box of, like, shitty toys from
that's true.
Tennessee trash for 25 minutes, right?
Except his is less of a gamble, because he also kind of knows everything he's getting.
Yeah, none of it's worth anything. That's the thing about those loot
Sean
boxes.
Sean is like Chet getting all of the cheapest knives from, like, a new set on CSGO and be like, wow, I'm going to open 44 of these tonight with 7 dupes each. Every time you're like, oh, wow, look at this. This one will be for Felix because it's green.
Yeah, this is the same sort of dopamine cycle, the way you press buy on an app and then you get pulled into it and then it arrives and then the dopamine starts going away and you're like, fuck, 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 I need something. I need another hit. I need it.
Where do you go from there, though? $50,000 pulls.
I think, like, it is such a culturally present thing at this point, gambling, that you kind of have to be aware of it. Like, it's a very mainstream thing that's going on. There's, like, I don't think there's shame in, like, being aware of it and analyzing it a little bit, because it's a huge industry that's just growing and growing.
Well, even, like, something as simple as just buying shit off of Temu is gambling, because you never know what you're actually going to get.
Yeah, Tom,
and, like,
sometimes
people love that.
Tom Jersey gambles, but we talked about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that Poshmark used to just send me, like, fridge filters and dream catchers and be like, oh, it wasn't a jersey this time. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
There was a player, Jontay Porter, who recently got in trouble for he had a Discord. He was playing for the Toronto Raptors, and his older brother is Michael Porter Jr. of the Denver Nuggets. And he had a Discord where he was giving people gambling advice and suggesting they bet on him to like miss shots and not and like get under rebounds. And play a game. He'd play a game and then he would be like, I'm sick. My eye, I got an eye infection, and then like be taken out the rest of the game. And the most on like these gambling websites, the biggest hits in like the recent history has been on some of those on him on some of those days.
Yeah. I was listening to them talk about it on the radio. I guess like sites like DraftKings and shit, like they're not stupid, so they look at like what the biggest returning bets are. So there was guys that were like placing $20,000 bets that this guy who's like a shitty bench player wouldn't even play every night, right, would get like under three rebounds or whatever, and then they would like always fucking hit. And so that's how he got busted, and he's even like publicly linked to his like crypto Discord betting thing. Like it wasn't even a fucking secret. It just took like enough people hitting on his like harebrained schemes to get found out.
People think they're invincible. It's like when congressmen, they learn something about a company and then they just sell all their stock. And instantly someone notices, because why wouldn't you notice someone selling like a $50 million of stock for no reason? And then it goes down.
It's like when some interpreter throws away $1 million a year job for gambling.
Dumbass. You're looking for one of the greatest baseball players and you have to throw it all away gambling?
For shame.
He must be so ashamed of that guy.
Yep. The sports gambling thing is really interesting to me because it's come up like twice in the last week with these two like gigantic stories, right? That like potentially ruin the integrity of the game, even though like Shohan wasn't betting on baseball apparently. But there's like all this influx of cash from these gambling companies into the networks, into the actual sport itself.
Who
could have
seen this coming?
Right? Yeah. So like all the parties that are involved are like, oh, sweet, like free money. Like if DraftKings wanted to sponsor WFYM Talk Radio and pay us like tens of thousands of dollars a month to give prop bets in every episode, we're fucking doing it. Well, at least I know that we do it if DraftKings is listening for enough money.
It's like in the 80s where there was all that furor over the players doing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? It's the 80s. What do you think?
Yeah, but also, like, players have always done that. It's like the same steroids. Before cocaine was greenies, then steroids come around, and now it's betting. I don't think I'd team up with a sports betting company because I just despise sports betting. Mm. Like, I'm fine with it, like, I'm totally fine with vices. I'm totally fine with people sinning. I don't give a shit. But sports betting, I don't know. It pisses me off that it's so prevalent. And I want to see it destroyed because I'm sick of seeing commercials about it. I'm sick of getting fucking flyers in the mail.
It does suck. It does suck. I am glad that they scam people.
I also feel like sports betting now is like a reason why places like Barstool are still thriving when everyone else in that sort of industry is dead now. Like, because they have,
it's pissing me off.
Completely propped up by gambling.
100%.
Yeah, and the NFL and the NBA. Like, they put the shit on the screen now. The prop bets, it's all built in. That's what's driving a lot of the...
They announced more international teams that are the global market share yesterday, including the Cleveland Browns getting all of Nigeria. So now they're going to be doing that out there with their betting shit. Hey,
next year on the NBA League Pass, it's going to have like a whole section, like cutting off half the screen just on like live bets you can make and like live stats and like... Just like, I don't care. I don't give a shit about this.
That's the only way to get the line to keep going up. You have to keep unlocking those things, like chipping away at the walls, trying to get it to keep going up. Because people lose interest. People lose interest in sports. It's just not that interesting.
I love sports. I love watching sports. I just hate hearing about betting. I hate hearing about people's fucking fantasy teams. I hate hearing like too much about their brackets. I hate hearing about all this little minute shit.
Yeah, Nate.
Like, I don't care. Just talk about the games. Talk about some of it. That's fine. But like sports betting guys, just on Twitter, when they're just losing their mind every day because they put like an 8-way parlay and they missed three of them. Oh, if this word worked out for me, I would have been a millionaire.
Like,
it's never worked out.
Yeah,
for
like I want to cheer for like a team or against a team that I don't like, and for that result, right? Like, I don't want to be on the edge of my seat seeing if there's like an extra 3-point attempt or an extra blocked shot or whatever. That just
your team wins and you're still like, I'm all pissed off because they didn't shoot an extra three. Like,
all right, hey, babe, sorry about this, but I think we're eating rice and beans for a week. Stupid fucking LeBron's at the last 10 minutes.
You know, at the end of Uncut Gems, where the guys are trapped in the glass box and they just have to watch Adam Sandler watch the game and talk about his bets?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah. That's hell. Yeah, that's my hell.
Sometimes it ends that way, too. But after that,
I'm not going to tell you how. Well, we're not going to spoil a movie.
Well, it's just a metaphor for blocking someone online when they talk about too much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's true. The mute gun.
You never see him again. Yep.
Forgetting people exist because the mute button's crazy.
I love seeing people where it's like basically their life is divided into seasons. Like, it's always just some type of fucking problem, right? Mm-hmm. And in the last year or two, that type of person, unconditionally, all of them that I know in my life have gotten into sports betting. That is a great addition. That's going to fix everything.
Yeah.
Bro, this is great. That's the reason why I don't dip into it, because I know my personality. If I get one hot streak, ooh, you know I'm going to keep playing. I can't touch that shit. I'm a wild player.
I won't, because I just hate losing my own money. If someone gave me a bunch of money, I had to. Yeah, but like, I just hate losing my own money. And everyone I know that like got addicted to sports gambling and like their life spiraled, they stopped doing it, and all of a sudden they're fucking thriving. They look great. They act great. They're like, they don't bet on sports anymore.
They get
so
new
much
hobbies.
Happier. Yeah. They find something else to do. And it's,
you
like,
know what's really fun?
That should tell you.
Watching your favorite team, and if they lose, you're just like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Oh, well.
My only experience with sports betting was a couple Super Bowls ago. Leftist Landlord, AJ, I know him personally. Mm-hmm. He's a stream guy.
Humble brag.
He works for a sports bettor. And yeah, shut up. But he sent me like a spreadsheet of all the promotions that all of the, because I had just moved to Colorado and I didn't, that like it was legal there for like, was one of the first ones or closer to it, I guess.
Always.
But he set me up with like a spreadsheet with all the promotions and how much I had to deposit to get how much in promotions.
Yeah.
I ended up putting in $20 for like $500 worth of bets over like three different websites. And then I would just bet both sides of the ball on different sites. And then I won like $500. And then I, as soon as I cashed out, I uninstalled everything.
Get out when you're ahead.
That's the thing. If you like, a lot of people don't have that willpower.
Yeah, that they can't get out. That's what because it just became legal in North Carolina. So I know people that are doing that where it's like, okay, I spent $25 and I've got like $500 in like free money. Let's just go crazy and like whatever I get, uninstall. But like, I'm just at a point in my life where I don't even want to install the apps because I already know more emails are coming, more shit's coming. Like, fuck you.
I needed the money.
Yeah, if you're going to lose money, you might as well get some.
Yeah.
Because you can lose $500 and then get a PS5.
Exactly.
Instead of losing $500 and getting nothing.
It is like the like sixth grade mindset where you're like, okay, well, $60 is a new game. So what can I do for $60? Like, that's better than a new game.
Man, that's like 2 ounces of weed.
Yeah.
That's true. Very, very true. Yeah.
No, I mean, even when I went on my poker heater a few years ago, I was up like $4,800 over six sessions. But every time I would go back, I would only take $500 with me. So that's the most I could lose, especially after the first couple sessions. I lost $500 twice in a row. And I'm like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
And then I put the remainder of it on my credit card.
Nice.
And then I've been so poor, I haven't been able to play poker since. But hey, that's okay. You know, at least my credit card bill went down by $30.
There you go. Not a bad thing.
Whenever I feel the itch to gamble, I just go play Rust and grind some scrap and go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Rust gambling is so that's fun.
I just play Russian roulette because it's free.
I hate spending my own money, so I've just been opening cards and bank accounts in my daughter's name. Introducing her to debt.
We got
to
build
early.
Up your credit.
Absolutely. Alex, you have to build up your credit early.
Alex, I'm so poor I can't even play Russian roulette. I don't have any ammo.
I stopped playing it because of the war.
I call it
Ukrainian roulette. It's like freedom fries. Fuck.
I actually had a guy. We had a strain of weed called Russian grapes, and this guy came in one time. He's like, "Ooh, what's that one? Let me get that one." He's like, "Oh wait,
I can't support Russia right now. I need to support
right now. Yeah, all the money goes to Putin.
You fucking idiot.
You idiot. This was grown by Russian weed farmers, not the military. Fuck.
One thing I wanted to make sure we discussed was the riff we were doing yesterday on this, or day before yesterday on the Sunday stream about the former painter who becomes schizophrenic and he's in the psych ward and he meticulously uses a roller brush to paint diarrhea on the walls. Yeah. He puts like the blue tape down around the ceiling and the outlets and puts on a second coat and it's like perfectly uniform all the way around. And they come in, they're like, what the fuck happened? And they're like, oh, that guy used to be a master painter.
Why is it stinking?
He fell off a ladder and hit his head.
Why is it stinking? He's got to paint in his own poop.
Where'd you get the roller every time?
It's just perfectly, like, not a drop on anything.
No splotches, like, there's no, like, sort of, like, bleed through. It's just perfect painting.
He's got the windows open to air it out.
Some windows in his sight.
The wise old orderly comes in, and there's just, like, piano music playing. He's spinning around, looking around, and he plugs his nose towards the end.
Like, wait, where's the poop? I don't see the, oh my god.
He said there was poop in here.
There was poop on the walls. I'm looking at all. Oh my! Oh no! 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 Just painting over it, putting a coat of primer over it.
Hollywood, don't steal.
Hollywood,
no
come
stealing.
Calling. Come on now.
No,
got some great ideas on here.
Psych Ward, the movie.
Yep.
I was recording with Stefan earlier, and he said that on Block Party they had a. Someone cancel their Patreon membership, and in the fucking exit survey, they left because the show was too nasty. And I'm like, well, we were on a pretty nasty show too. Like, what could you've possibly been like talking about? And I kind of want to pose this hypothetical to you guys as well. So the whole thing was that Stefan thinks that if you have a bigger ass, you take bigger shits. But John has a bigger ass than Stefan, and John doesn't think his shits are as big as Stefan's. And they were discussing how you would like do that as an experiment, because like sometimes you don't have good shitting days, right?
So you would have to do a controlled experiment, like with any good.
You have to go both like, go carnivore.
Yeah.
Yeah, to maximize the amount of poop.
I would take a legalistic approach to this, right? Okay. Like, I would, if this were a lawsuit, right, and I was representing him, I would go, doesn't it illustrate, like, if he, sight unseen, he hasn't seen Stefan's shits, right? But sight unseen, his turds are so small that he believes his turds are smaller than the turds of a man that he has not seen. They've got to be pretty tiny. If he's just comparing them to the general populace, they've got to be pretty small.
That's true.
Especially when compared to his big ass.
Felix's star witnesses is a quantum physicist and a philosopher.
Man thinks his shits are smaller because he has not seen shits of that of a smaller man.
I just remembered that Howard Stern did this.
He had
High Pitch Eric and someone else do a shit-a-thon where they both sat on a toilet and then had to shit into a bag, and whoever had the most shit won, and Shuli had to weigh the shit on the scale. That's the guy who makes fun of Stuttering John now, and he had a brief run-in with Mead.
Dude, look what woke made us lose.
But I guess like that's more of a mass. But we're talking maybe about
the individual poops.
Yeah, the individual poop.
I feel
poop.
Like that has more to do with like the tightness of your asshole, I would guess. Because like
possibly.
If it was really loose, wouldn't you have just one long one that comes out? Like the Goatsy guy? I would love to see him shit. Like I've already seen the inside of his asshole, so I guess I might as well just
like
see
a cow
coming
pie.
Out of it.
All right. So what I'm wondering is if you set up an experiment, right? Like, so you had two people, like similar builds, just one whose ass is a lot bigger, and you made them live like somewhere and basically have the same diet for a week or a month or whatever. And then at the end of that, like you had to measure their turds. Mm-hmm. And then what are we talking measuring the turds? Because then, like, okay, so now we're going
to
break it down a little bit more.
You have to average it out because they might not all be the same length.
I think it had to be by weight, right?
Well, length and weight. I mean, but what's well, so maybe we, sometimes you get like a heavy
volume like for me.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know if this is going to help or not help the discussion, but a good friend of mine in high school, she was pretty candid with her life. Mm-hmm. And one time she told me, she asked me, she's like, have you ever heard about, I forget how she phrased it, but basically some guy stuck a finger up their butt when they were hooking up. And then she's like, and I just pooped like bunny turds out afterwards.
Okay.
And so I don't know if that adds anything. I thought it was weird, but that's what a girl told me, that one time a guy stuck a finger up her butt.
And then, yeah. Was she measuring?
Was
yeah.
Were we, well, never mind. She was in high school. I don't want to hear anymore.
But she was like, yeah, I don't know. It's like bunny turds came out after when I shit the next time. I'm like, why are you telling me this?
I don't think those are mutually inclusive.
Sometimes you have just a couple little pieces just sitting there and you don't know until you sit down and try to push them
out. Well, that's what we were talking about last episode. I had too much bread. I had too much bread and I was just shitting like a little bunny and then everything just came out of me and I'm back to normal.
Love that.
Just that's the way it goes sometimes. It had nothing to do with anybody sticking their finger in my butt.
Also, that's why you got to be careful about sticking your finger up someone's butt because most people don't clean their butt.
Mm-mm. No. Well, you don't have to. You just don't have,
yeah, there's no reason to.
No,
Frank chews one piece of lettuce and passes a perfect long turd. Who stuck like this lettuce on my burger?
It just keeps going like scarves out of a hat.
Just imagining his shit with like little bits of hot dogs coming out like corn because it just didn't get digested.
And going back to the Howard Stern thing, imagine if Howard Stern's 70-year-old ass was still doing his like 1994 bits. Like... having like fucking we got epic meal time coming in here. He's gonna have a shitting contest versus the fat Jewish.
He'll actually go to the studio. He will talk to Wendy sometimes and still do some of that nasty stuff. But I don't think they would ever have anything in studio again because he's just such a germaphobe at this point.
The Howard Stern's like a COVID shut-in.
Him and Vladimir Putin. Him and Vladimir Putin are both like they're the anti-woke COVID scolds.
Yeah, and he didn't used like to be that. Like that because he used to like make fun of Baba Booey for getting the flu shot and say he was a pussy.
What, boss? I don't want to miss any days of work. Yeah, you're a pussy.
And now he just won't leave the house.
All right,
and his wife doesn't really like it.
I like the idea of Vladimir Putin like. Posting on Twitter in defense of like DoorDash and all the like delivery apps. You're like, well, you know, some of us, right, can't leave our homes.
He uses Yandex Eats. That's their
Yeah, you upload a picture of a hamburger and it shows you where the hamburger is. All the different restaurants.
Vladimir Putin just puts one of those like long COVID ribbons around his profile picture on everything.
He's wearing one at like the UN.
Yeah. Hey. When I got COVID in December on Clancast, we kept making long COVID jokes and we had a bunch of people get mad at us for trivializing COVID and long COVID. So, I had COVID. It's fine. I'm allowed to make fun of COVID when I had it.
Oh, you wish I had it longer?
But it's just, you know what? When you get long COVID, there's certain things you can't do, like chores, like helping out with your wife, taking a shower, brushing your teeth, making the bed. Okay. These are things you cannot do physically.
I think that's just the North Carolina strain.
Possibly. Listen, it affected me. Yeah. I needed 3,500 calories in the morning. I needed two monsters just to wake up, and I had to play Switch in bed all day. Do you think that was fun for me? You think I enjoyed that?
When a cat brings a mouse to the door, I can't touch it. Someone else has to.
Tom had to DoorDash one of those glass Starbucks Frappuccinos so he can have enough energy to go to the gas station to get an energy drink.
I could have crashed my car.
I have somebody I know, right, who... I don't want to say who they are just because it's like it would be a whole thing. I don't...
Father John Misty.
Yeah, it's him.
No, just give their full name. I'll bleep it out.
You just bleeped the first part of it.
Say
Jack.
They're like a long COVID person, right? And like I definitely believe that like people can get long term effects from COVID.
Oh, for sure.
Like absolutely. But
yeah, I'm sure.
At the same time, it's like the people who are like, everyone has it. It's like, I'm not, it's hard to define. Right. It's one of those things where it's definitely hard to define.
And then the people that really do have it, like it's a real thing, but then other people, it's a very easy to self-diagnose thing once people
hear the term.
Yeah.
But this person, right, they're very adamant publicly that, you know, everyone should still be masking all over the place. We shouldn't be having large gatherings. And I've seen this person at a lot of things. I've seen them at like parties. I saw them at like, let's just call them.
I've seen him at parties too, Felix.
Yeah, I think you have. Yeah. I've seen them at very non-essential events, let's say. Uh-huh. Like I saw this person at a birthday party that was held in like San Diego for an influencer that neither of us knew very well. And none of these times was this person wearing a fucking mask. And I always felt like they're like daring me to be insane enough to like start an argument at like a friend's birthday party over this. Like, hey, what the fuck?
To wade into that stuff at all, you sound like a lunatic.
That's anything. Right,
vaccines or mask. Like, you shouldn't have opinions about it if you're a normal person at this point, other than like do whatever the sign says.
Felix walking up to them behind them at a party and he's wearing a fucking really shitty like Timu Bane mask and he's like, what a lovely event.
It's like I feel like it's a deliberate attempt to drive me insane though. Like if I do say something, if I start an argument in the middle of the party, it's like I'll forever be known as the guy that's arguing about masks.
Yeah.
Even if I'm
and
right.
Also, you're not wearing one.
Right.
You would have to go get one and put one on.
Yeah. Like, and you can't explain that to like the normal people who are there. No, you don't get it. They fucking post about this shit all the time. Okay, why do you care about
that? I'm proving
that?
A point.
Yeah.
You can't even hear you through the mask. It's a...
Listen, Felix and Aaron, I finally figured out where you're talking about and who you're talking about. And I just think most of the Bored Ape guys don't wear masks. Like, that's just their thing.
Yeah, for careful listeners, I'm talking about the original Bored Ape who does this.
Yep.
Yeah.
And for listeners
from the other day, sold the company.
Did you see that event with Steve Aoki and the Liver King and then Dan Crenshaw?
Oh my God, I'm gonna die.
The one-eyed congressman?
No.
Yeah.
That's
I retweeted
sucks.
It.
That sounds like some AI picture I would fucking mute someone for.
That's so fucking cool.
That's like
cool.
The new Bored Apes. That's where all those guys go now that Hold NFTs on. Aren't worth anything.
Steve Aoki has been a living NFT for like 20 years.
Yeah, he's like a corporate, he's just like a, I don't even know how to describe him. He's like a computer program that you can order.
You remember when he paralyzed that girl because he threw the weighted cake? The cake hit her and the paramedics were going, we got weights in the cake! Weights in the cake! Oh, he's holding them up.
That event that you're describing, Alex, it seems like tailor-made for guys who they quit drinking when they were like 43 and this is their like first sober event. And they could go, look, you don't need drugs to have a good time! And this
the guys who spend $800 a month on Kava.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the post that you just, your description is, it's less insane than what's going on in this video. Like, so it's from the Liver King, right? Okay. And he's wearing an eye patch, I guess, to match Dan Crenshaw.
Seems they're, more mocking.
Yeah. They're like, he's playing tribute. And there's like Steve Aoki, like bouncing up and down in a DJ booth. And it looks like a pool party in Vegas. And here's the caption. DJ Aoki, pool party, my favorite scotch, two bottles, ex-Navy SEALs, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, barbarians everywhere, enough testosterone to power the old world. We shared in a sovereign bond. We celebrated life. We embraced. We fought. We were invincible, or we were inevitable. Ancestral Tenant 9 is Bond.
Oh, yeah, that's a big ancestral tenant hanging out with Steve Aoki. All the cavemen did that. I hate how the Liver King is going through, like, he's, like, doing a one-man day of Ashura to, like, so he can still be famous. He's, like, self-flagellating. I get all these promoted tweets from this asshole that are like, guess what? I lied. I'm shit. But I can.
Yeah, he's doing what Boogie does.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, okay, well, like, you don't have to be a public figure, you know, but he just he wants to be one so bad that he's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's putting up billboards that are like, I was a bad guy.
Well, that's what he did in the first place. He was just some business guy. And then he like dropped $100,000 buying sponsored posts.
Yeah.
To make himself a public figure and like hired a bunch of marketing guys to craft this fitness identity for him.
I like how Steve Aoki went from playing like corporate events after his like his big like glow up. He just went from playing like corporate type events, like he'd be playing like a T-Mobile concert before the Super Bowl type thing. And now he's like gotten to the point where it's all the dumbest people that still think he's like the hottest shit in the world are like, we'll give you $7 million to play here tonight.
You could automate him. You could have AI Steve Aoki.
We might already.
You could have done that 5 years
ago. Steve Aoki.
I feel like we have some hypocrisy here, though, because we're criticizing Liver King for saying I was shit, putting up billboards. However, if a certain Home Halfway was putting up billboards and you were driving down L.A. and you saw his face,
it said I was just shit. Said,
I was shit. Oh. I'm so fucking sorry for all sins of my father and I. I made mistakes.
Bruce Willis holding the sign. I was shit.
I would love that because there's a difference. You know, there's a difference. Liver King is just like an insane person who thinks that he has to be a public figure for whatever crazy person. Home Halfway is like the greatest artist that's ever lived. When he talks about like his iguana ruining Christmas, Liver King could never fucking do that shit. When he was like, my dad, who is my dad? How about combine the most evil molester ever with Adolf Hitler, and that's who you'll get. And then you find out he was just like a guy who stole college, like Bernie Sanders' wife. he's great. Like he's better than the Liver King. He should be as famous as the Liver King, in my opinion.
Yeah, he would have a meltdown on every Christmas because in 1982 his dad walked out on the family, and he doesn't remember that, but his mom remembers it, and he has like epigenetic trauma from his mom remembering that.
Yeah,
and every year he has PTSD flashbacks.
I have a tweet of the week for episode 200, by the way.
Oh,
let's hear it.
Wow. It does come from Home Halfway. Michael sucks. And this is kind of funny. My buddy posted it on his Instagram story. It's from an Instagram account called The Funny Introvert. And so I had to give him like a quick rundown of the lore and the Brooklyn Biatch and the Brooklyn Biatch's woke pimp.
I love how the Brooklyn, speaking of long COVID, Brooklyn Biatch's woke pimp, he was a version of Mind of JSON who's very COVID conscious.
I was about to say Mind of JSON should have the real title Liver King.
Yeah, like you had to get a PCR test to have sex with a $200 hooker.
Here's the tweet of the week. Okay. Vin Diesel eats two meals a day. One, breakfast. Two, Breck Furious.
That's awesome.
That's pretty good. As a Home Halfway archivist and amateur researcher, that's not one of his best.
It kills him that this has 37,000 likes on Instagram and he doesn't get to see any of his numbers go up.
No, he shares it.
He's replying to all the people saying, like, laughing at it, being like, this is actually me.
I think he likes that part. I think he's like, oh, well, look at that. Look at that. When you put me on a new platform where no one knows what a fucking piece of shit I am, people like my jokes.
Can you imagine?
But if they knew the real me.
Can you imagine he sees that and he's like, oh, wow, this is me. 37,000 likes. That's great. And he kind of feels like that old dopamine feeling. And then he sees Andy Richter like this. Like, he's, no, I got to get back on there. He likes me again.
What's Andy Richter up to now?
Liking
probably bothering women.
He's got to be on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
He's on Blue Sky DMing the world's oldest grad students.
I was going to say he's in that fucking dramatic series about Abraham Lincoln or whatever, but that's Patton Oswalt.
Blue Sky is, Do you remember that brief period where everyone was like, I'm going to Mastodon?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somehow yeah. Blue Sky is like worse than Mastodon was. Mm-hmm. And it sucks, I don't know so how. Bad.
It's like only people who are on lawyer podcasts.
Yes. Yes.
I like to think that Blue Sky is like heaven for Twitter users. Just dying. Like I saw muted, they died. Felix, have you seen Alex's Blue Sky, by the way?
No.
Yeah, I'm the only person posting Confederate flags over there. I'm just RPing as Justin Lingle.
He made the Justin Lingle Stonebreaker 04 account, and Alex had to go into Photoshop and put, like, the Confederate flag over the Han Dynasty or the Ming Dynasty map, and also just a map of Africa. He's like, I couldn't find this on Google Images, so I had to make it, and it's just a map of Africa with the Confederate flag filling the entire thing.
What point is it making? I don't know.
He also posted a DS with a cracked top screen and says, I bet you queers wish you had this, huh?
I posted a picture of a hat that says queer as in fuck you. And then he says, I want this hat that says if you're queer, fuck you.
Alex, I was just thinking about when you did one of your earlier role plays when you were Brock Winthrop and talking about Grumpy Cat getting carried away by an eagle on Facebook. But I'm going to check it out after this, but I'm very excited to see your Lingle roleplay. I think Lingle
is... It sucks that Grumpy Cat died.
Yeah,
because it ruined the fun of saying that he died.
Yeah.
That always happens. Like when Joe Rogan dies, people aren't going to be able to say it in illegal sports streams chats anymore.
Yeah,
Joe
Chum
Rogan
Lee.
Just died. That's when you know the stream is up. When you see
if Chum Lee actually dies and no one says a word,
Alex, I think Lingle is the role you were born to play. I'm not saying not like that you have Lingle like characteristics. You do not. You are very anti Lingle. But I think like. The psychology of Lingle, you uniquely understand him. Ledger and the Joker.
It's like exploring the dirtier side of life.
I have the idea of making a, you know the Garfield without Garfield comic? Make Calvin and Hobbes without Hobbes, but that'd basically just be Justin Lingle, where he's walking around fucking around the woods and talking to himself and like kicking rocks and shit and getting mad. Yeah. You could make a Lingle comic that's just like a repurposed Calvin. Do the one where he's got his pants pulled all the way down. He's just peeing in the toilet and looking back pissed off.
Just walking around the woods being like...
Actually, no, the Lingle would be he's turning around looking pissed off like the Calvin peeing decal, but he's peeing in the hole for the sump pump in the basement. That's the most Lingle
place.
Basement
toilet.
Yeah, the most Lingle place to pee in the house. The fucking tiny hole in the ground of the basement. He just splashes it all over. Just puddles of piss everywhere. Yep, got it. That's the drainage hole.
I the thing I always think about, and I think it was either Alex or Tom who pointed this out. How like for Lingle Americans, the moment that their grandmother gets sick or like breaks up or something, that solves the next 15 years of their life. Because they could just be, I'm taking care of her.
That's a job. That's a new job.
I had never thought about that before, but holy shit. That, like, you telling me that was like a Rosetta Stone for like 20 people I've known in my life.
Yeah, there's so many guys like that where, like I have a neighbor like that where there's an old lady and then her son who's like 50 who lives with her and he's like ostensibly taking care of her, but she has to go out and check the mail every day. And I never see him leave.
Not checking the mail is such a bullshit move and he can't do that's amazing. Does he have a leg wound?
Son that can't open a jar of pickles.
I think he does actually.
Son that can't open a jar of pickles being like, you need me here for self-defense. I don't want to put a pickle man hurting you.
Yeah, trying to explain that to your other siblings who are independent.
I have to be here.
They know exactly what's going
on. I've had friends definitely take care of like, well, one of them was like taking care of a paralyzed parent that wasn't even that old, like in his 20s, and still like working full-time and going to school. Like,
yeah.
My grandparents have two of those right now. They have two of their kids who are taking care of grandma, but not doing it. And she's doing the work.
Yeah. Michael, that is exactly like the people who actually do that, like are legitimately taking care of them. They would never just like tell anyone, much less Melanie Mack, like what a good person they are.
Yeah, but that's what I love about Lingle. Like that went away for him, and because he lost his like purpose when his grandma died, which he was apparently taking care of, but not obviously not taking care of. It's like I said, I call it Grandma Heart. It's like Dragon Heart, where the dragon dies and it's got a half of his heart, and he starts dying during the battle because the dragon's dying. And he's like, that's Lingle with his leg. His grandma had the leg wound. Now he has
it. Yeah. You can tell that she was taking care of him because his health started declining the moment she died.
You look at a picture of him from a year ago and the pictures of him now, and like his hair super long and greasy.
Do you know what he looks like, Tom, like that I thought of? It's when people have kids. And their kids well past where they should have had their first haircut.
Yeah absolutely.
It looked like a troll
like
bell.
Like a three-year-old? Yeah.
It's that long, stringy, still baby hair because they never got a haircut. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. It's
just like that kind of grows.
Hair. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's very much like Gollum's hair. And like, clearly, his mom texted him she was like, hey, are you okay? I'm worried about you. And he was just like, I'm fine. And she's like, are you sure? Okay, I love you. And he's like, love you too. But then he has like, he supposedly has nurses that come over to his house and dress his legs. And then he goes to a leg wound clinic.
For what? He's never explained once why he has a leg wound.
Hereditary. He said it. It's hereditary. It's hereditary.
He's like Prometheus. Every day an eagle comes down and pecks open the same wound on his leg. It's Lingle's punishment for stealing pre-rolls from the gods.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said it was like where the red fern grows, where Lingle saw something shiny in the hole with the two nails pointing downward, and his hand was stuck. But he wanted to let the shiny thing go.
He was picking at scabs on his leg, and it like got infected, and he just never got it taken care of, and now it's just. There's like a black hole somewhere in like his shin. I like the
idea that Lingle just has stigmata.
Yeah, that's Protestant stigmata. Christ. You just have. Yeah. You just have.
We've never thought about that.
There are a lot of things I like. Feel self conscious. Like I feel self conscious about like not having a car. You know. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just so terrified of like killing someone with like I have at this point like an irrational fear thinking that like. Anytime I like the moment I start the ignition, I'll kill somebody. But then like I see Lingle and he's like a 38-year-old scab kid. And I'm like, you know what? I don't feel bad about any of that.
There are some real dumb guys on the road driving big ass trucks like Outlaw. And
yeah,
I posted that today after the bridge collapsed. The guy immediately responding and saying, could it have been the Hootist? Then he typed again, Houthis? I'm like, these people are on the same road as us, man. They think Yemeni pirates were in the fucking Baltimore. We're here to blow your bridge
they
up.
They don't like container ships.
Yeah.
They're the anti-container ship guys. They don't like those. They don't drive them.
Love the guys. The guy being like, do not let any of that fucking crew go back to Singapore without getting interviewed. I just checked out that country, by the way. They got a lot of Chinese on the signs. I'm like, what?
God.
People just finding out about Singapore.
Another guy, AR-15, quote tweeted the bridge. If I had to guess, the helmsman fell asleep behind the wheel. Drowsy driving is a very serious problem today.
Oh, really? My favorite thought. Oh, my favorite thought of this giant freighter ship that's like, you know, 190,000 tons or whatever. And there's this lonely old wooden wheel at the very top where this drowsy captain's like, they're like 5 minutes from leaving port and no one's even around. There's just fucking completely still air and the guy's just nodding off. He's like, whoa, shit.
Yeah, like a modern vessel it doesn't have like the same avionics as an FA-18. Like it does. Like it's just one captain's room and it has manual control.
It was being piloted by an AR-15. It was being piloted by a guy who was planning on getting to the place 3 days late and then saying, all right, here's $100,000 because I was late delivering these containers. But then he fell asleep because he jacked off to Melanie Mack and he crashed into the bridge.
I love the idea of AR-15 Merchant Mariner because he's buying like international shipments of weapons to keep the weapon dealer in business, even though they're not very good.
Oh, his ass would be fucking dropped somewhere in the ocean. Someone would shove his ass.
He'd be late.
Yeah, but I guess that was a terrorist attack is so stupid. Like, yeah. Maybe it was. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but there were like four cars on that bridge.
You wouldn't do that at 4 a.m. I looked at the video. Like, it was,
Yeah,
you wouldn't do it in the middle of the night. You would do it at rush hour.
They didn't crash the planes into the towers at like 4 a.m. when no one's there. They killed four janitors. Oh, God.
It
would have been so much better.
It's like,
it would have saved so many lives if they did it at 4 a.m.
It's like 6ix9ine visiting O Block at like 4 a.m. Like, I love, you know what I love?
On Christmas.
You know what I love are the people who are like trying to make some fucking idiotic point about infrastructure. Like, any bridge in the world is built to withstand a fucking cargo ship smashing into it. You fucking
idiot. Even
the people
that were like,
It was built in 77. It survived until now.
And they're like, if only we had the dolphin fenders installed like everyone in Europe does. They even had them around the power poles. And this guy that's like, I'm a ship engineer, and before that, I designed those dolphin fenders. I promise you, none of them on Earth could withstand how fast it was going at that weight. He's like, please stop. Immediately, they're like, LNA infrastructure. I'm like, okay, we'll see. It's next time that fucking something happens, like when that Italian bridge collapsed, man, we'll see.
That's like the heaviest thing that we can move around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It might be the heaviest moving object we have.
What about your mom?
Outside of vessels that like have to be nuclear powered because like nothing else could propel them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like outside of like Nimitz class aircraft carriers. They're like probably the heaviest civilian vessels that exist.
Oh, wait, here we go with the Felix loves talking about these fighter jets. By the way, I love, I've been telling him when we were playing Counter-Strike, this is my favorite, like, one of my favorite Felix obsessions that came out of nowhere. It's like, oh, all of a sudden he's into fighter jets. But Felix, did you see the J.J. Abrams Blue Angel show that's coming out?
Wait, no, really?
Yeah, it's like a documentary about the Blue Angel Pirates produced by J.J. Abrams.
It's called Avatar, James Cameron, not J.J. Abrams.
Well, that's not true. He also did Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what Chad's thinking about.
Oh, okay.
Good Star Trek too.
I will definitely watch that. I have a lot of respect. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for the Blue Angels because the Russian version of Blue Angels, they get to do like tricks in an aircraft that has thrust vectoring. I think they are called something like the Red Devils or some bullshit. You know, some like Russian, stupid Russian name, but like
the Putins.
the Sukhois they use, like they're
Russian Knights. Yeah.
Yeah. The Russian Knights.
I forgot the name too till now.
They have thrust vectoring, which means like the exhaust, like the tail end of the jet engine on their plane, you can change the direction it goes in. And if both like nozzles have 360 degree thrust vectoring, they are able to do like Kolbin maneuver, like all this cool shit that like most aircraft can't do. But the Blue Angels, they do all their tricks in like an aircraft that doesn't have that, which I think is really cool.
The Russian Knight, one of them is the one of the video that won Sukhoi crashing at that air show of like 2015 or whatever, that famous video, that was a Russian Knight pilot.
Yeah, that was fucked. Like, Sukhois are super huge.
He failed to eject because he was trying to avoid homes, so he's waited too late to steer the plane into a field and died with it.
Sukhois are gigantic, so it was like, you know, that would have taken a lot of fucking people out.
Yeah.
Have you been to an air show before, Felix?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I went. The Chicago has, like, a pretty well-known air show. I went to a lot as a kid.
Windy.
Yeah.
The last air show I went to was the one at Selfridge. I think it was 2013, where the Wingwalker fell off the plane and died in front of everybody.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yep.
That sucks.
Damn. It kind of sucks to see, like, a suicide in public like that.
Seriously.
Yeah, what an asshole.
I wish someone reached out to him.
They should bury him in an unmarked grave for that, because he's going to hell.
They basically had one right there where he just left it. Where'd he go?
Yeah,
he went
down so far. Mm-hmm. Oh, one thing I realized, if you're going to fly a plane into homes, the best time to do that would be at like noon.
Yeah.
To minimize casualties. Because you wouldn't want to do that at 4 a.m. because everybody's going to be in the home.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's the opposite, of a bridge.
Yeah, the opposite of a bridge or like a work building.
Alex, when I buy my decommissioned F4 and I fix it up so I'm able to go Mach 2.5 again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to crash into a residential building that has a lot of work from home people, so they can have a day. So they can have a day off.
Wait,
okay. Nice.
Well, you got to get them all out though. You got to run in and pull the fire alarm, and then run back to the plane.
Well, that, like, you know, you know in Top Gun when Tom Cruise buzzes the control tower with the F-14? That's the point of that maneuver. You have to buzz the building to be like, hey, I'm about to crash into you.
Well, or it's just like, hey, you all have a package at the front desk. Like, come on down.
Yeah, it's for all of you. It's like on Christmas when there's a gift for everybody.
Then you crash and then it's just, it says you're welcome. Yeah. You don't have to go to work that day.
So awesome.
You can stay in a hotel for months. That's everybody's dream.
Oh yeah, that's every kid's dream. Living at a hotel.
What? I don't know why hotels are so appealing to the child mind. But like,
God, it's new.
Yeah.
It's new. It's like, it's all standardized. There's a bunch of stuff that's like sort of free.
It's the same as like a sleepover at a friend's house. It's because it's different and they have like different stuff. And then as you get older, you realize like that friend's house was like disgusting. Their parents were weird.
Like, yeah, when you're a kid, you're like, their parents are awesome. They let me do anything.
Yeah.
And then when you're older, you're like, they had a lot of poop in their house.
We didn't even have to flush. It was so cool. Your parents are so chill.
You grow up they were waiting the Michael poop for a contest.
You grow up and become the Michael Jackson ABC interview. They would doo-doo and feces all over the walls. I've been loving the Michael Jackson content on the timeline with Shmooly. So awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That was a cool costume he did, friends. Huh?
What a rich the history.
Macklemore.
I don't get why he's blonde. Ooh, he didn't used to be blonde. If you look at the pictures with him and Michael Jackson, he had black hair. And now he's blonde. He's bleaching his hair.
Maybe he was gothic.
And it's not like graying. It's like this that weird brassy orange color you get when you bleach
you know
your
what?
Hair. And he's
You're
doing
right.
it to his beard.
So funny Michael Jackson put him on his enemies list.
What's his deal? Because I seem to like, I only remember him from like a Shark Tank episode where he was doing like a...
He was like Michael Jackson's spiritual advisor.
Rabbi or something.
Yeah, no, he was he the guy who founded that?
Aaron.
Mensch on a bench?
Aaron.
Because I have a Mensch on a bench.
Aaron.
I got it at Goodwill for like $2.
He was like one, probably like the second or third most repeated Loveline guest.
Reverend Shmooly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on Loveline like all the time.
He's a sex guy.
Yeah, that's how he got his start.
Kosher sex was his big one, right?
Yeah, that's how he got his start by being like, you know, you can have a bar mitzvah.
He was like the Jewish Dr. Ruth.
Hey, yeah. He definitely isn't mentioned.
Yeah, we needed one of those.
He might have been in the segment, but...
No, he's a Shalom in the Home was the TV series.
Okay.
You are
fucking... I gotta go to Loveline Archive.
Shalom in the Home, so it's just hello...
Yeah, that's a shitty title. It's not like
it doesn't mean much.
It's not like you have to
peace
go
in the home.
It's not like you have to go out to say shalom.
Shalom means peace. So it's like bringing peace to your home. I get it.
And peace is what we're saying now at the end of this episode.
That's right. Check out Rabbi Shmooly.
Shalom.
He really changed my opinion on Zionism.
Yeah, I'm not sure what point he's making. If it's it seems like he's anti-Semitic, but
I love what he did there, where he's like, his costume is just like, hey, I'm the Jewish pedophile. What do you think about this? It's Candace Owens.
That'd be a great. That's gonna be a great sound notification. I mean, thank you, Felix.
He's being a character. The character that's the dollar bill.
Oh, Five-ish.
What was that called again?
Five-ish.
Five-ish, yeah. He's being Five-ish.
Five-ish.
Oh, God.
Oh, Five-ish Foreign's my new rap name. Thank you.
Oh, nice.
I like that.
I'm glad we worked that out. Everyone, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Felix. My pleasure.
Thank you,
Felix,
for coming on. Bye.
Bye-bye-bye-bye.
Bye.
Chag Purim, Chag Gadol LaYehudim Masechot, Rashanim, Zmirot VeRikudim Havanarisha, Rash 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 Havanarisha, Rash 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 Havanarisha, Rash 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 Parashanim Havanarisha, Rash 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 Havanarisha, Rash 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 Havanarisha, Rash 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 Parashanim Purim's here, Purim's here, it's a holiday so dear. Mask and song, bring along, groggers loud and clear.
Here go the groggers, rush, rush, rush. Here go the groggers, rush, rush, rush. Here go the groggers, rush, rush, rush. Purim time is here. Here go the groggers, rush, rush, rush. Here go the groggers, rush, rush, rush. Here go the groggers, rush, rush, rush. Purim time is here. Masechot, rashanim, zmirot ve'rikudim. Amman Arisha, rash, rash, rash. Amman Arisha, rash, rash, rash. Amman Arisha, rash, rash, rash. Parashanim. Amman Arisha, rash, rash, rash. Amman Arisha, rash, rash, rash. Amman Arisha, rash, rash, rash.